Okay, we're picking up two lines from the bottom of Nun Gimel Beis with the words of Ba'i Rebbe Elazar. So the question over here, continuing our discussions about different types of support from the ksuva money, so after the husband passes away, so the Gemara wanted the following. Ba'i Rebbe Elazar, Bas Shnia, if you have a daughter who was born from an Isser relationship, an Isser, Shnia's Larayas are always usually referred to as Dinim Derabanan. So for example, A person's grandmother made Daraisa's mutter. The rabbis forbade that marriage. So if a man goes ahead, obviously his grandfather passed away or divorced her, so he's no longer married, Eishesish, then a Pashut can't marry her, but even all of the Daraisa, that would be Eishesish. But if that husband subsequently passes away and Reuven goes ahead and marries his grandmother, so then has a daughter from her. So the question is, Yesh la mazonos o ein la mazonos? Is this girl, does she get money from the estate of if her father subsequently dies and he has other children or whatever, whoever it might be that has to support this daughter? So normally, right, the daughter is supported, but this daughter is a shnei l'arayos. So turning on to the next time in the Dalal Amal, the Gemara says, the two tzadim, keva and the leis la ksuba. So since the mother doesn't have a ksuba, leis la mazone. So then it would seem logical that the daughter does not receive any support because that's part of the ksuba. Again, a shnei l'arayos is a knas derabana that they took away the ksuba for the woman. The whole purpose of a marriage is that the ksuba is to feel safe and secure within your marriage so that there'll be harmony and peace. We don't want there to be peace and harmony in this relationship. It's usher. The rabbis forbade it, and you're going ahead and slapping the face of the rabbis by getting married, so we don't give you a ksuba. So therefore, as part of the tenai of the ksuba, is also receiving support. Or the second side is odilma ima de avadisura kansura banan. Only no, the fact that her mother is the one who violated a halacha, so therefore for her, we take away her right to the ksuba, the stipulation that she should be able to get the money from a ksuba. However, and that's a knasura ban, and the rabbis penalized her, but, and she loses the ksuba rights. But what did she do? This daughter who was born to love the Yisura, she didn't transgress any Isser. So therefore, lo kasura ban, the rabbis would not penalize her. Therefore, she should be entitled to support from her father's estate. So the Gemara says, teku, that really, we're not sure how to leave this. That's a very good question. We have two tzadim over here, that maybe again, the stipulation would not affect the daughter, only the dinim of the mother, and therefore the daughter would be entitled to support, so we don't know how to answer that. So the Gemara, fourth question we had, by Rabba. Rava asks, Bas Arusa Yesh Lamazonos Ein Lamazonos, the daughter of a woman who was married only with Erisin. So, as we mentioned many times, right, there's the Erisin and the Suin stages. Erisin is where you only do the first stage of marriage, and you're married Midaraisa, but you're not entitled to all the things about marriage. You're not allowed to be with her even. And the Gemara quotes a Masech, we quote Masech Eskala is the Masech Eskatanos, the Tanaic sources, that say, a Kala B'la Bracha Asur L'Baila K'nida. On the level of Darabanan, a Kala doesn't have Brachas, the Brachas of Nisuin, is Asur to her husband. Been like a nida on the level of Darabanan, obviously. Daraisa, they're totally married, but on the level of Darabanan, they're not allowed to even be together. So he violated this Isser, and he violated this Isser, and he had relations with her, and he had a daughter from that. So the question is, Yesh la mezonos o ein la mezonos? Does this daughter receive support from her father's estate or not after the father subsequently dies? That's the question, and there he showed him. Is this only where the father dies before he has a chance to do Nisuin? So it implied a little bit from Rashi that it's only if the father dies and doesn't have a chance to do Nisuin with that same lady. So there never was a Nisuin stage that kicked in all the lachas of the Ksuba. Or no, according to the Meiri, let's say, even if the father subsequently did Nisuin, but he got pregnant with this lady while they were in Arusa, so this daughter forever remains this Isser status that he had where the Ksuba didn't remain for her, so maybe she should never be entitled to Mazonos, and the question would still apply. So either way you want to have it, it's for sure in a case where, let's say, he dies before he has a chance to do Nisuin. That's the question the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Kevan to Isla Ksuba. So the one side is that since the mother has a Ksuba, Isla. So then the daughter would receive support, and so much as the Ksuba is a function of the support. So we have a Shaila that later on Rashi points this out, whether a woman gets a Ksuba during Erisin. Rav is going to be, obviously, those who say that she is entitled to a Ksuba is going to be according to that Mandamar. And even those who say that she's not automatically have a Ksuba, it could still apply in a case where the husband wrote her Ksuba for her, his own Ksuba. So even though he wrote his own Ksuba, but he didn't write a special tonight that she should be entitled to Mazonos at that point. So maybe the Tanai of the Rabbanan only kicks in from Nisuin. That would be the question. So the Gemara says, So again, Kevin de Isla Ksuba Isla, or the second title is Dilma, Kevin de Lotik Rabbanan Ksuba Achas Nisuin Leisla. The daughter would not receive any support until that time. So says the Gemara, Teku, that this is a question which remains unanswered. Continues the Gemara with the fifth and final question of this topic of supporting the daughter by Rav Papa, Bas Anusa, the daughter of a woman who had been raped. Yesh la mazonos o ein la mazonos. Does she get supported? Again, a man rapes a woman, and he decides to marry her, and then he has other children, he has other male, or he just doesn't marry her, he has a daughter from her. And then he has other, he divorces this lady, and then he has another child, other children, and they inherit him because he has boys. So does this daughter, does she receive support from the father's estate or not? So it says the Gemara, what are the two tzadim? Ali, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Dolti, Bai, Lach, Damar, Yishlak, Subah, Saman. As we saw earlier, in the earlier parts of the Masechta, in the Lamed, right, the end, very end, the thing Lamedes, we saw that the Gemara tells us that there's a machlokas whether or not a woman who was raped gets a ksubos. Because what's the whole purpose of a ksuba? Is that it's to increase the chance that the woman feels secure in the marriage. Well, she feels very secure according to the second mandamar, because he's not allowed, as an iser deraisa, for him to get divorced. He's going to get lashed. And obviously he doesn't want to do that if he gets divorced to this woman, so he's not allowed to do that. So he's always going to remain married to her. As opposed to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he's going to treat her so badly, he's going to tell her, he's going to the point where she's going to say, I don't want to be married to him. So he said that you get a ksuba. Yesh lo ksuba samana, and you get a ksuba mana. So obviously, according to him, if she's receiving a ksuba, so that she should also receive a ksuba, she's getting all this support for her daughters also. Pashat, kiti baylach, alibet rabbanon, no, but the rabbanon who over there on Lamentes argued on Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara is wondering, according to them, damar yatsa kesef knasa b'ksuvasa, that her fine is going to be enough for her ksuba. So according to Chachamim, so then my, kevan de leis la ksuba, because the mother has no ksuba, leis la mazona, maybe also the tnai of the ksuba, the parts, the stipulations that are included in the ksuba, that his daughter should be supported, her daughter should be supported, is not in there. El deal ma ksuvasa my time, no, but the whole reason that there is no ksuba for Isaac is a different reason, a side reason, is because it's to avoid the issue of a woman feeling uneasy at the marriage, because her husband will divorce her for free. Kedesh lo te'a kalab enav lo tzia, that the woman should not be easy in her husband's eyes to just send her away. And then since this person who violates the Isser is in any case unable to divorce his wife, as we pointed out, she has no ksuba, but really the tznai of the ksuba should then kick in. So if that's the svort, then according to this, then the woman should have all the positive effects of the marriage that would kick in by a ksuba, which namely for her daughters to be supported after this woman dies. So the Gemara says, that's a good question. Teiku, we are not sure how to resolve this. And also, we left this question unanswered. Okay, now we're addressing the next part of the Mishnah, which the Mishnah told us that the Lashon of the Ksuba says, Ata yatva bebesi, umidzani minachasai, kol yamei megar lemosayach. That's what that you're going to be supported in my house. So the Gemara says, Tanar of Yosef, bebesi velo bevekasi. Why does it say bebesi? In my house? So that implies that specifically if I have a house, what if I only have a little tiny hut, bevekasi, tiny little hut, which can't fit anyone? I remember when we were in the old city, so Baruch Hashem, it's a living testament to how they used to live. So mamish, some of the houses we see, the Chizkiyahu Melech, where he extended the walls of Yerushalayim. So you see, like the mamish, like when the Gemara talks about like a dalad al dalmat is a minimum size house that's like chayav in bedikas chavim. It's like that's how people literally had like barely enough space to the poor people had barely enough space to live. So that literally what they had, like a 10-foot house. So if this guy had that type of dwelling, a little hut that barely fits his children, so then the widow would not be entitled to live in there. Only if he had a more spacious house that has room for her, then she would be allowed to live there. So the Gemara says, Aval mezona isla b'Rav Yosef Edzo, even if she's not entitled to support to live there, to be in that house, however, she is entitled to the financial support of eating whatever she needs to be supported, even if she's not living with them. So, however, the Gemara cites Machlokas. Mar Bravashi disagrees. He says, Amar afila mezona nami lesla, that even the support she does not receive, because her support is, according to him, contingent upon the fact that she has to live in that house, because it's easy for them to give her food. However, she's not living there, so then they don't have to go schlep and find her, and therefore that would be the case that they would not be. Chayav leisel chazak kamar ravashi. However, we don't pass like that. Even if she's not entitled to the house, she definitely is going to be entitled to remain with her support even outside of the house. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Tavui L'Nasim Nispaisa. If a person suggested a shidduch to this lady, she's the almana, and now she's getting offered to remarry to somebody else, so now, and she accepted it, Nispaisa, Ein La Mezona, she no longer receives support, because by the fact that she accepted, she got, again, not even halachically engaged, she just said, oh, I agreed to get married, let's do the heiress in whatever, X and X date. So then the halacha would be that she no longer is entitled to support, because that is not considered Megar Mosayach, the days of her being a widow. The idea of the Manosayach is where she's still so distraught about her husband that she refuses to get remarried. The moment she's ready to move on, Ki'ilu so are we, like you don't need our support anymore either. The only reason you're getting support is because you were so distraught about your husband passing away. The moment you're ready to move on, so you're no longer entitled to the support anymore. So says the Gemara, however, Halan Espaisa, Yesu Mazonas. But if she did not accept it, she should then not continue. The question of the Gemara rhetorically is that does she really receive support no matter what the circumstances? If she refused only because she didn't like her, lechora, she was ready to start redate, meaning she went on a date. Basically, we're saying like she was willing to go on a date. Yet we're saying that this date was she just didn't like the guy. Well, she was ready to move on. And yet we're saying that she still should not be entitled to support. So says Amar Ravana, Ladidim Farsha Lamina Mar de Shmuel, that to me it was explained what Shmuel told us, Amar Machmas Poloni Baili, if she said, because of my husband, so Yesh Lamadana said, clearly she should continue receiving her support. She's like, I'm not ready to start dating yet. So then obviously she's still considered an almana who is very distraught about her husband, and that should be the case. However, Machmas Vina Adam Sheina Mehuganim, if it's because of she just didn't get good shidduch options, she was ready to start dating, and people are suggesting these people that she was not interested in, so then Ein Lamazonos, then she would not be entitled to continue getting support from the estate, because at that point she has shown that she is ready to move on from her husband. Says the Gemara, Vaitamar of Chista Zinsa, if she had Bia Biznus, meaning that she not really Mamish Nus like the Chayv Misa, but that she just had an out of marital relation. She was a single lady, and she slept with somebody while she was an almana. She didn't actually formally get married to him. So says the Gemara, Elam is she no longer is going to receive support. Obviously, her behavior shows that she no longer feels an attachment to her dead husband, the fact that she had relations with somebody else. Amar Rav Yosef, Kilchla Pirscha in the Mizonas. However, another halacha also, if she starts getting, you know, put literally like eye makeup on and braiding her hair, she's starting to look pretty again, so that she could start dating, Ela Mizonas, in that case also she should not receive any support, because again, by dressing up, she's showing that she's no longer concerned with the honor of her husband's passing. She no longer is worried, she wants to look good in order to eventually get her remarried. So then she no longer should be entitled to support. So says the Gemara, Mar Zinsa, the one who says that specifically if she has relations, Kol Shekein Kichla Pir. So then certainly she would forfeit her ksuba if she's looking good. That if one single action, which is more likely done by the fact that she just had a desire to have relations, that also shows that she's no longer attached to her husband. Certainly this, which is a constant attempt to attract other people, would be Kol Shekein, that she should no longer be entitled to the Mizonos anymore. However, Man de Amar Kilcha Pircha, the one who said that she specifically has to start making herself look good and go on dates and stuff like that, get ready to go on dates, so then, and that no longer she's supported, Aval Zinsa Isla. But if she had relations, then she will be entitled to Mizonos subsequently after having relations by a time, because Yetzer Nasa, because she just had a Yetzer Hara, she just had a, you know, she had evil inclinations that she wanted to have relations, so it was a one-time thing, and she obviously is still attached to her husband, and she should be still supported. So that's the Gemara. The halacha doesn't follow any of these halacha, these teachings that we said about denying support for the widow. Rather, the halacha is Ela Kiyad Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel says Hatavas Ksuvasa Bebeisin. Only specifically, if the widow demands payment for ksuba in court, then Ein La Mazonos. At that point, she no longer is entitled to receive support. But any of these other actions would still, she starts to go on dates or things like we just mentioned, Znus, those things would not inhibit her from receiving support anymore. Only when she goes to Basin, which is an act that she cannot reverse. She knows when you go to court, right? It's final. Whatever they decide is going to be done. So that's something clearly she shows she no longer is attached to the husband. So says the Gemara, Velo. And is it really true that she's going to not receive support when she demands her ksuba in court? Vatanya machra ksubasa. If a woman sold her ksuba, umashkina ksubasa, or she used her ksuba as a security for a loan that she wanted to get, asla ksubasa puskilacher, or she designated her ksuba as an apuskilacher, apuski is apotehekai, the Rishonim explain that. Here is going to collect, it's a property that you specifically designate to a collection of a loan. You say, here, in 30 days, if I don't give you cash, here, take this property. This property is designated for you to collect. Or you could even choose. Instead of taking cash, here, this property after 30 days, just take this property as a, when you gave me this money, this $1,000 that you're giving me as a loan, take this property, collect from there in 30 days. You don't even have to come and collect the money from me. So that's what a putki is. So it's something which is designated, it's a very strong level of being designated to somebody else. In Lamazonas, in all those cases, she did not receive support from her husband's estate. So clearly, but we left out the case where a widow who demands her ksuba. The Brisa implies that ha'ane in, that in these cases she forfeits her ksuba. However, aval tavasla, where she demands her support for ksuba, she no longer is going to forfeit the support. That's what it implies from over here. So we see that it's not really going to be discontinued for demanding it in Beis Din. This seems to contradict Shmuel. No, whether these actions that still, the previous things we just mentioned about using it for an aputki or things like that, that is going to be whether it's done in Beis Din or not. However, Tovas, in the case where a woman who's demanding her ksuba payment, Beis Din in, specifically if it's done in court, that's going to be the case where it's valid and invalidate her from receiving any form of payment in the future. Of However, if it is not done in court, the support is not discontinued. So the Brisa is leaving out the case of a woman who demands her ksuba because it deals with the actions that are going to be done, whether it is done in or out of Beis Din. This doesn't mean to imply that the act of demanding her ksuba will never going to be a problem of going to create a place where she doesn't get any money. It does, in fact, say that, and the Brisa would not be akasha on Shmuel. Okay. V'kach li'u anshe Yerushalayim, this is what Yerushalayim would write on their ksubas. However, we said anshe Yehuda, they would write until they give you the kesef ksubasech, until they give you their money from the ksubas. Again, there's two fundamental differences. That's a very big deal. According to anshe Yehuda, right, they could just give the ksuba whenever they wanted, and they could get it out of it. However, the anshe Galil, they would be much stricter, right? It'd be much more to the benefit of the woman, that she can keep getting the mazonos as much as she wants until she's ready to collect her ksuba. She'll on her ksuba, and she wants to get all the support from her eating every single day, so that's better for her. So then she, because of the day, she'd be allowed to do that according to this. It says the Gemara, Itmar. We learn, Rava Amar, Halacha Kanshi Huda. Halacha is like Anshi Huda, that whenever you want to give, that unless it's stated explicitly otherwise in the ksuba, that it's assumed that the heirs can give as long as they want to give her the ksuba and stop giving her support for her food and stuff. Shmuel Amar, Halacha Kanshi Galil. Halacha follows Anshi Galil. Therefore, she is entitled to the support as long as she wants. They can't force her to give her the ksuba and take away and lose her rights to keep eating. So in Bavel and all the surrounding cities, they followed Rav, Narada, v'chobarvad nagu Shmuel. However, Narada, they followed Shmuel. So Bavel seems to imply over here, Narada is also in Bavel. But when the Gemara says that Bavel acted like Rav, it means most places. Narada, though, and the other areas acted like Shmuel. So he bas machozet having a sivil Narada. So here, interesting case, you have a person who's bas machozet, it's like Bavel. However, she was married to someone in Narada. In Narada, they followed Shmuel. So the husband died, and the heirs wanted to pay off the ksuba. So also the committee Rav Nachman, they came before Rav Nachman, they came before Rav Nachman for judgment. Shama l'kala davas mechozi, just like we have accents, like a southern accent and different accents in different places of America. So too, people had different accents there in Bavel. So he heard that she's accent was from mechoza. So therefore, he said, Amar alahu, Bavel b'chol parvadon, al-kirav. He said to them that the rule is that the Bavel and all the surrounding cities, like mechoza, which would be a regular case of Bavel, should follow Rav. Therefore, they can force you to take the ksuba and no longer be supported. Amrule, however, whoever was tining for, because Amru, she should have said Amarla, Amarle, but it says Amru is interesting, so it must have been maybe she had some sort of Tawain, a lawyer, some sort of form of somebody who was arguing on her behalf. I said on behalf, V'ala Narda Nesiva, she was married to a man from Naharda, so we should follow his minhagim. So we see the one of Raya's over here, that a woman who's marrying the husband should be, and lives with him for sure, should be able to follow his minhagim. Am ben l'kula ben l'chumra, amar l'hu, yachi Naharda v'chol parvad na'ogish Shmuel. If so, we should follow the chazar Shmuel, because that's his custom where he is. Therefore, the heirs may not pay off the ksuba, and the woman should win. That's where she, because she follows his, even though it's worse for him to follow his own minhagim, but that he follows, that's what he has to do. She follows his minhagim, and she wins this argument. But hecha Naharda, and I was wondering, where would be Naharda that we should follow Shmuel? Until wherever Narda carved travels. That's the type of measurement they used to use. That place is where the standard measurement was used, would be considered Narda. Now the Gemara continues, Itmar. Almana Rava Marshamin Mashalea. With regards to, now we're talking about the payment of a ksuba for a widow. So what about what she's wearing? Does that also get subtracted from her amount that she gets in her ksuba, the mana masayim? Rava Marshamin Mashalea. Rava says, yes, we do in fact deduct the amount that she's wearing, like a very fancy clothing. It's not literally the clothing that she's wearing. Even the clothing she has in her house. So she has $1,000 worth of clothing. Her scuba is $1,000,000, so they only have to pay $999,000, not have to pay that other $1,000. So Shmuel Amar, Ein Shemin Mashaleh. Shmuel says, we do not evaluate the clothing that's on her. Her clothing is her own property. It's not something that her husband Kilu gave to her. It's not something in which you're able to deduct. So Amar Rav Chiya Bar Avin, V'chilufa B'Lakit. They actually have a machlokas, and each shita held the opposite with regards to someone who's a lucket is somebody who works for you. It's a person who's a hired worker. He receives his formal wages for his work, and he doesn't have formal wage, rather he works without a set wage, whatever comes into his hand, whatever he's able to make from working around. So the shaila is about his clothing. Is his clothing considered belonging to him or belonging to the Baal HaBayis, to his owner? Not really owner, it could be a Jew, not really a slave, but is it whose the property is the clothing? So the Gemara now says, Rav Kahana, Master Rav Kahana taught, V'chein b'lakit. And so too with the case of a person, is the positions of Rav and Shmuel would be the same. They'd be parallel. So meaning Rav would hold that the person's clothing would be deducted from his wages, while Shmuel would hold that it would not be able to. And Rav attached this mnemonic to remember this question, that an orphan and a widow, let them take off their clothing and leave, meaning their garments do not belong to them, and you should subtract that amount from the total sum of how much you have to pay them. Amar Rav Nachman, Alpha Bita Tamba Vasnisan Kavasid Shmuel, even though we learn Allah is like Shmuel, Helchasa Kavasid Rav. So the Allah really follows Rav. This time, which Mishnah seemed to play like Shmuel? Echad Makdash Nechasav, Echad Mari Chasatzma, Enlo Bechsus Ishto, someone who makes a neder to give everything to the Beis HaMikdash. And so if he has no right to take the clothing of his wife or his children, and not any of the colored garments that he dyed for their sake, for the wife and children. And not for the shoes he purchased for the sake. These items are not considered his, and we therefore not be considered in his neder, and not be considered his arach. Arachin, you're allowed to take any property the person has if he's not able to pay up. Arachin is where a person consecrates the Beis Hamikdash, the amount that he's worth. Different the Torah gives, different five shekel and 10 shekel for how much the person, how old the person is. So we see, though, that the woman's garments and the children's garments, but for our purpose, the woman's garments are not considered property of the husband. So the Mishnah seems to be a raya for Shmuel. So says Rav Nachman Chimaracher de Amastis and Kavaisa Shmuel. So wait a second, we have this refers to raya like Shmuel, but we said yet the halacha follows like Rav. Why should that be? There's a very good raya in the Mishnah, and we should look or follow Rav based on that. So says the Gemara. No, really, just lachora. It's interesting. The Gemara doesn't use the word lachora. Is more of a modern sprach. It's more of a modern lashon that people use. Lachora is not used often in the Gemara. The Aruch, who famously discussed many of the lashonos of the Gemara, he actually discusses this. Where it says, "What is lachora?" That's a very interesting thing inside of those Bahadur Gemaras. They talk about it. That lachora again, it means what it means. What we understand it contemporarily, which means like lachora just means when you first glance, your initial understanding. Lachora, when you look at it, it should be like talacha should be like first glance. It looks like you should file like Shmuel. Riyata, when you're looking quickly at it, kimana. But however, when you examine the Mishnah closely, really, it's not a raya for Shmuel. Why? Hilchasa give us a raya. My time, ki aknale, because of what terms does a husband give her clothing? Adaita lamekam kame when he's remaining with her. Adaita lamishkal mefik, an assumption that he would take his clothing and shield take the clothing. Lo aknale, he never gave it to her. So therefore, the Mishnah's case where the wife wasn't divorcing the husband and the husband wasn't planning on dying. Obviously not. He made an edder. He wasn't planning on dying. So obviously, when he was macked or something, it was when his wife was still with him and she planned on being with him. So then obviously he really gave it to her. However, when the husband's dead, so the dead estate, he doesn't care necessarily, he doesn't want to be part of his wife's clothing, he doesn't really care as much because she is not with him. And that's what there's a difference between fundamentally the case of the Mishnah and the Raya for Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Kalasa Devei Bar Avayel Shevavik So a daughter-in-law of Rabbi Yashiv, not the Yashiv, Rabbi Yashiv, we know that the Yashiv, some of them were actually like mafia people. This is a Bar Yashiv, I don't know exactly, but he was demanding a ksuba payment from the orphans from the husband's estates. The Gemara, Hava Kamata Ludein Dina. She was bringing them to court. Amr Lazililan Mel said the Tali Haki. So they said, look how poorly dressed you are. Come to Beis Din in a nice fashion, like your Shabbat clothing, fancy clothing. So Azla the Mishvay Lechnisayo. So Lekulemana. So she went and she took her all her very, very expensive clothing and wore it to Beis Din. And this was a trick. Also the Kamid Ravina, because they came before Ravina. Amr Lua, Alchos the Gavasidra, the Allah follows Rav, Damar, Amanus Shamim Mashalewi, value what's on her. And we're allowed to deduct whatever you have, whatever clothing you have, from the payment of the Ksuba. As we pointed out earlier, though, that even if she has clothing at home, we would evaluate that. So they must have been afraid. There must have been some reason that they were afraid that this lady was not going to be deducting it from the ksuba. So says the Gemara now, Vaiter Hahu Damar Luhu. So there was a person, a certain man, who was as he was passing away, he was dying. Said to his family, Nedunya Libras, let a dowry be given to the daughter. So he wanted to give a certain amount of money as a dowry, which is a standard set of clothing and other things for this daughter. So Zal the Dunya, so after his death, what happened was, the dowry, the price of these things, they dropped. So he said, give my daughter whatever the standard amount was. Give her, I don't know, like 100 pairs of shoes and 100 pairs of clothing. So those things, after his death, those items, they dropped in price. So Amar of Idi Baravin, pernally asked me, the prophet, meaning the fact that he said, go give 100. So even though at the time of his death, let's say again, 100 pairs of shoes worth $1,000. And now after he died, when it came time for her to get married, whatever it was, those prices dropped to $500. So do they still have to give, do they have to give double the amount? Because he really said something that was really, is it the focus on the 100 pairs of shoes or was it on the $1,000? So the Gemara is saying, no, it was on the 100 pairs of shoes. So if the 100 pairs of shoes are worth $500, then they are going to win. It should be noted that the Rishonim will point out that it would be the reverse as well. If the shoes double in price, so now that, again, it was worth $1,000, now they have to spend $2,000 on those same 100 pairs of shoes. Since, again, we're saying the ikr is what the amount of what he said, so 100 pairs of shoes, so they would have to pay, they would have to lose out of their pocket, double, they would have to lose $1,000. So it's bein lekula, bein lechumra for the asomim. Ahu damar lehu, turning on to next seven, also a similar case. Arba mea zuze min charma lebras. 400 zuz of this wine should be a dowry for my daughter. So the wine went up in value. So again, so he said 400 zuz of what? So give her $1,000 worth of my wine. And the value of wine doubled. So $1,000 worth of zen. So let's say originally it was 10 gallons of wine, but now only 5 gallons of wine is going to be worth $1,000. So they have to give her the 10 gallons, which is really worth $2,000, or they can give her the 5 gallons. So the Gemara, so Amar Av Yosef, Rav Chaliasme, the profit is going to be earned by the Yosomen, meaning they don't have to give the daughter the full 10 gallons, which are worth 2,000. Rather, they can get away with giving her the 5 gallons, which are now worth 2,000. I bet we said, like we said before, the same halacha here, the other way around would be the case also, that if wine went half in value, they would have to give her a double amount of wine. If 10 gallons of wine are now worth only $100, so then they would still have to give her that full amount. Okay, so it's bein l'kula bein l'chum. Says the Gemara Vayta, Karevid Rabbi Yochanan, havi le'itas abba dehavi kamafseni mezoinei. They had a case where the father's wife they were eating, over here, they were eating, she was eating a ton of food. That was as the father was dying. They feared that this amount of food, again, guy was on his deathbed, and this lady was just constantly eating. Maybe she was obese, whatever it was. She was eating so much of their property, so they were afraid that he was eating so much of the food they weren't going to have anything. So as their father lay dying, so they didn't want that they should ruin the estate. So also they come in Rabbi Yochanan. So they asked Rabbi Yochanan, what can we do? So Amar Lehu, go tell your father. Go tell the father that he should designate a specific plot of land to support her. And that way, that all that she can get her support from is from that one piece of land. So they did that. And also look at Rish Lakish. So after the father's death, they came to the basin before Rish Lakish and wanted to lay out that she should be only allowed to eat from that small field that the father gave her. So Amar Lehu, so he said to them that Kol Shekin Shiv L'Mazonos. No, he doesn't write specifically. You didn't say that was designated Dafka for her support. This was increased to the regular support that he was giving her, and you do not allow to limit her to that one area. Amar Lehu, so they said to Rish Lakish, V'har Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lehu Hachli. Rabbi Yochanan told us this Eitzah. Amar Lehu, Rish Lakish said, I don't care. I'm allowed to disagree with Rabbi Yochanan. Zilu Avu Lehu. So he says, go give her what she's accustomed to. V'ilo, Mafkena Rabbi Yochanan, Me'unaichu is Lashon of Nida. I'm going to put you in Chirim. You want to listen to Rabbi Yochanan, you're going to be pulled by your ears, Rabbi Yochanan, because it's not going to help you. I'm the dying right now. And this is how I'm paskening. So very chamar. Also, the kamei Rabbi Yochanan. We know Rabbi Shlakish was a talmud Rabbi Yochanan, but he felt he was a gil ara, and he was entitled to argue. And Rabbi Yochanan. So also, the kamei Rabbi Yochanan. Came Rabbi Yochanan, told him what happened. Amar lo, ma'ase shekneidi cholokalai. He's very strong, and he disagrees with me. So you have to follow his psak. You went to him for based in. Amar Rabbi Abba, the didim official eliminated Rabbi Yochanan. So it was later explained that Rabbi Shlakish talk was right. Rabbi Yochanan was explained. Amar limizonos. If the father stated specifically it was for the support, riba limizonos, then he would increasing it. However, bimizonos, this is only in support, meaning lashon of bit is only for this, then that would indicate that it was only specifically for that area. So katzas lamizonos, then he fixed the amount, and that would be all she's allowed to take from. Okay, with that we finish. Let's go on to the next parak. The next Mishnah tells us, even though we know that the minimum amount is that a 200 zuz is done for a basula, and a widow is only 1 mana, 100 zuz, in matzalosif avilamei mana, Yosef, if you want to make it $1 million ksuba, you would be allowed to. So the Gemara says, if she became widowed or divorced, bein eres and bein nesuin, go vesakol, she collects all of it. She collects only the 100 or 200, but also the extra amount. That is a question based on the Gemara later, whether or not one must write a ksuba for Nerusa or only Nesua. The Gemara is going to explain that according to the view that one does not write a ksuba for Nerusa, our Mishnah must be a case where specifically he did write a ksuba in his own volition, where he doesn't have to. So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer min Nesun go vesakol min Erson besula go masayim v'mana mana shlokas of amanas akonsa. Only the mana masayim is for the standard amount. Well, the Tosefes ksuba is only if they actually formally do Nesuin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer imratza kosa lebesula shtar shal masayim. Rabbi Yehuda says there's a way out of this whole amount, that you write a star that's Masayim, because that's a Takana Rabbanan, and then what happens is, Vihi Kosevis Kabbali Mana, even she didn't actually get it, but she can write that I received the mana from you. So if she didn't actually receive it, you can forego this amount. She should free him from the obligation of this amount. Mana, mana, and all mana, and mana. So meaning he lowers it in half just to keep the Takana Rabbanan. You write the 200 before, but actually she'd only be getting half of that. So the Gemara says, and Amana, you could do the same thing and divide it in half. Rabbi Meir says, no, you're giving less than 200, that's like you're having illicit relations there. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what that means later on, but that's what Rabbi Yochanan very strongly disagrees with this statement. So now the Gemara points out that you're allowed to add to the Ksuba. Why would you think the Ksuba is a standard marriage document? It's a minimum. Chazal giving a minimum 100 and 200. So the Gemara says, it's obvious you're allowed to add to it. This is just the bare minimum. Why would the Mishnah Ketichin teach you that you are allowed to add to it? So the Gemara says, because you might have said that the Rabbanan instituted a fixed amount for all ksubas. Shalol avayas is misha inlo, to not embarrass one who does not have the resources to increase for his wife's ksuba. Kamashvan, therefore the Tana is teaching us that one is permitted, in fact, to increase the ksuba amount. That's what we're seeing over there. So I guess we'll stop over here because the Gemara is going to have a long hemshech. It's a very short daf tomorrow anyway. And there's really just a bunch of nafminas from the same question that's going on to next Talmud, Bez Hashem. So we'll pick up Ezra Shem from Imrat Shalosif in tomorrow's daf.